Okay, so we've got a very exciting guest today. Before I introduce them, I thought, what is the best way to introduce this person? And I actually asked ChatGPT to write an intro for you, but I said, be quirky. And you know what? They've delivered to the brief. So it says, picture this. A tornado of charisma, a whirlwind of unconventional wisdom, a walking, talking explosion of ideas. Today's guest is not your ordinary entrepreneur. He's a one-man circus that will leave you breathless and begging for more. You see, they don't just march to the beat of their own drum. They lead a full-blown parade complete with confetti cannons and marching elephants. He's the kind of guy who can turn a mundane network event into a wild party and boring business conference into a rock concert. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather round and prepare to be dazzled by a force of nature in the business world. We present to you none other than the one, the only, Brad the Dynamo Burton.
Mr. Brad Burton. Mate. It's left me breathless, that, and begging for more. Like a typical weekend for you, isn't it, that, mate? But listen, I think that is not... Is that genuinely ChatGPT?
ChatGPT. I just put your name in and said, make it quirky, though.
Crackers. Absolute crackers. Yeah, good to have you guys.
I didn't know the Dynamo was your stage name. Is that true?
Mate, I've got several stage names. See, my name isn't, in fact, Brad Burton. It's actually James Bradley. James Bradley Harold Burton. So we've omitted certain things of the story. So it's Brad Burton, the stage name, effectively.
Well, there we go. That's an exclusive for anyone listening. Right, Brad, the way that we start all of our podcasts, we don't want to change it. Who are you and what problem do you solve?
Well, it depends on which version you want, because, you know, there's two versions of me. The Brad Burton that was born over in Salford. Papa, Brad Burton, that was born over in Salford. Dad left when I was 6 months old. Left school with no qualifications. Got shot at when I was 21. Addicted to drugs twice. 4 years on benefits. Delivered pizza at 31. Oh, do you want Brad Burton, the UK's number one motivational business speaker, the four-time best-selling author, the founder of Four Network and the UK's largest joined-up business network? Two sides of the same coin. And if I go back far enough into your life or your weekend... you'll see something questionable. So there's two versions of me, and this later version that you're talking to right now is slightly more less proper. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So in answer to the question, what am I solving? Back in the old days, 10 is the best I can do. However, the new problem that I solve is really about getting your mindset. You know, there's a good version of you and there's a not so good version of you. What's the difference? You know, why do some people, why do you wake up some days you've got a face like a slapped arse and then some days you're unbeatable? I mean, that is the curse of doing calls. I mean, geez, you know that as well as I do, your mindset. So what separates a good version of you and a bad version? And that is something that I definitively believe through learned psychology. I can change in people. I can get them to be the better version of themselves in a very short space of time.
Okay. So my follow-up question to that is, why do you do that?
Great question. Because nobody else is doing it sensibly. You know, if you want to go and get a problem, you've got to go and sit down with a counsellor. Counsellor, so tell me about your childhood. And you know, that. Listen, you know, and the problem is what I do is fundamentally different to anything that is out there. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm a motivational speaker at the highest level. It wasn't always this way. And, you know, clients include JCB, Costa, Bentley, the list at Rosero, the list really does go on. And I've managed to create myself a field of one. You know, I don't wear a three-piece suit and a pocket watch. I've never been over the Great Wall of China in a Pacamac or a unicycle. You know, I've done none of those things that a conventional motivational speaker does. What I've done is I've turned my life around, and I've turned my life around. But not only that, is I've turned the lives around of thousands of other people as well. Like, genuinely, I'm not just saying that being jazz hands for the sake of this podcast. I have genuinely changed and shaped the life of so many people. And, you know, it's fascinating to see a thick fucker like me from Salford. Every time I say Salford, can we do that? But, you know, someone like me, it just shows you that you can be a better version of ourselves, and that's exactly what I do.
Okay, and obviously, so along the way, I've followed your journey. I've been to kind of one of the networking events in the past. So talk me through it. At what point were you doing all these things, and you said, now is the point? What was the penny that dropped for you to say, okay, I want to do this now. I want to help people get to the point where I'm at with my mindset.
It wasn't that. Listen, first and foremost, you've got to help yourself. This is where people go wrong, including me in the past, is that, you know, you end up giving all your energy away. I had a mentoring group of around 200 people. prior to the pandemic, and any of those, one of those members that was in there, they could rely on me. 3 o'clock in the morning, dead body in the boot, ring me up, I'll sort it. Bad example, but nonetheless, can you edit that? But you know, any problem that they would have, I would sort. That's great until you've got a pandemic, and now all of a sudden you've got 200 people coming up and saying, can you help me, Brad? And it's like, shit, I overwhelmed. But let me just reverse up. It was December the 18th, 2004. I told my employer to shove the job up their ass, and I walked out of a job on a point of principle. And I'll tell you something, it was a wonderfully liberating experience. It really was for those 3 hours whilst I drove home and married. And I arrived home going, shit. You know, when the boss asks you, how's it going? And it's not going particularly well. Yeah, that. So I've opened the door, and standing before me was 8.5 stone of common sense. She says to me, my wife, you're home early, Brad. Are you here to look after baby Ben while I go shopping? That's one way to look at it, Kerry. The other way is I've told my employer to shove the job up their ass. What do you think my supportive wife said? She said, you're a fucking idiot. Why couldn't you keep your mouth shut for 5 days and get your Christmas pay? She had a point. But it's fine, Kerry. Stop crying. You know why? Because I'm going to go start my own business off. How difficult can it be? See, my understanding about running a business with all private number plates, fish tanks and spinny chairs. I've got a BMW 5 Series outside, ZM Sport. That's what I thought business was. And the reality of running a business is low sales, no sales, depression. And in my case, a whinging wife. There's no book on that. There is now. It's called Get Off Your Ass, by the way, available at all good bookstores. The point I'm making is that's when my life turned around. I walked out of a job, pulled out the pin of a grenade. But make certain that in life, when you pull out the pin of a grenade, that you know what you're throwing. In this case, I end up throwing the pin away. And it's like, you know, it was tough. I started my business off, 25 grand in personal debt, no idea what I was going to do. First year, 26 grand. Second year, it was a marketing business. Sales, new media, Still shows our fact, new media, but social media back then. Sales, new media, marketing and creative design. And, Monday to Friday, hi, I'm Brad Burton, the award-winning marketeer. My company's called Four Consultants. We're a full-service new media and creative agency. Mm. And then Friday, 6 p.m, ding-dong, hello, mate, Domino's Pizza. That's what I was doing, is delivering pizza that weekend to keep my business afloat. And people don't tell you this shit. All people do is start getting some dickhead coming out of a Lamborghini, putting a snapback on and telling you you're going to earn the secrets to earn 8 million quid. You know, the reality is with running a business, it is tough. It is tough. You are going to get tested. So I realised something. I've gone through this of starting up a business. That business I then morphed into Four Network, and I ended up creating a multi-million pound business. You know, at its height, 2.3 million quid, plus I was doing like maybe 400 grand with my other business. Not bad for a thick fucker from Salford. And I think that's the bit when I realised, actually, how did I change from this kid at 31 to where I am now? Mindset. That's it. So if I could have taken my brain out and put it, installed it into like a computer chip, take my brain out and put it into a 25-year-old Brad, would I have been a better 25-year-old Brad? Yes. So this is it. So even though I'm seeing you now, Jack, although you was a bit fat and sassy and younger, but when I see you now, right, you know, you are still the same Jack that you was there, but you're a completely different one, right? I was going to say your dress sense has improved. But, you know, the point I'm making before I so rudely interrupted myself with a little snide dig about your dress sense, however... Look, what do I know? I'm 50 years old, dressing like Justin Bieber, do you know what I mean? So I don't think I'm in any position to give anyone any shit. But the point I'm making is this. There is a better version of me, better version of you, better version of Zach. And how do we find that? And I know exactly how to do that.
So, Brad, I've never had this pleasure before of talking to you. I'm feeling like I want to run through a wall already. You strike me as someone who found motivation quite easily. Am I wrong?
You know what I was always good at back in the day, and I didn't realise this, when I was 26 years old, I got employed by a company, and the gaffer, a multi-million pound publishing business, they employed me, and we're over in Soho House, and they're spending loads of money, I'm 25 grand a year, spending loads of money on beer, £2,000 on champagne, and this, that and the other, we're in these private, and I'm just along for them, I'm the Johnny Fivebellies or whatever he's called, just following these guys around, and he said to me one evening, hammered, he said, you know why we employed you, don't you? And I went, no. He said, don't you realise what a complete nutcase you are? Well, what the fuck are you on about? He said, you don't know. And he then turns to his colleagues and goes, you don't realise. What the fuck are you on about? He said, mate, we called you the Brad Grenade. What are you on about? He said, what we do is we bring you along to places like this, we just throw you there, and all the squares end up gravitating towards you and talking and chilling out, and we do business to it. What? And it's a bit like saying to a fish, what's the water like? So I had no idea. I was so self-unaware of my enthusiasm and my infectious enthusiasm. Like, I had no idea. So, you know, when I go back down to the olden days, I was the guy who could get in a nightclub for free. And actually, you say to me, Brad, can you go and get in a nightclub for free now? I'd say that. I did actually do it recently. But my point I'm making is the confidence. And that's what you do. You walk up to the door, hello, Steve. John over the road told me that I could come through for free. Dr. Cube. Oh, all right. Right? And this is what you guys do. Every time you arrange a meeting, that's what you're doing. You are creating in somebody's mind's eye this vision that actually it's appropriate to not even question. So in terms of my confidence, you know, back in the day, I was over in Salford. Proper. I was, what do you call it? I was, we'll have to do a proper count there, maybe a part at the end of it. But the point is, I was always charismatic, chatting up girls. Other sexes are available. Chatting up girls. And actually, you know, and just being charismatic, I didn't realise what it was. And it was only when I started weaponising that in the nicest possible way, positively, benignly weaponising that, because we can get onto these certainty salespeople, those people that sell these dickhead courses and strike people up. I am not that guy. I am not that guy. You go and Google Brad Burton scam and see how many results come up. I've either got great lawyers or I'm not a scammer. So, you know, a combination of both. But the point I'm making... Oh, so I rudely interrupted myself. Don't worry, I'll just run the show for the next 45 minutes. Lads, all right. But in terms of that question there, Zach, I had no idea that I was this guy. I had no idea. But then what happened at my networking events, you had to do a foresight, which is an insight, not a sales pitch. And when I first started that networking organisation, there was no guest speakers, so it had to be me. And, you know, difficult to believe back then, but I was a fat, bumbling idiot that nobody could understand. What's changed? You've lost weight since then, Brad. You know, I kind of learned, and what happens is when you're speaking in brewers' fairs up and down the land, you know, with sweaty people networking and the barista machines going off and people walking past with luggage, you know, you're in a really good environment to train. And what would happen at these environments is eventually somebody would go, oh, Brad, you're amazing. You're so inspirational. You're so motivational. And I'd be like, me? They go, yeah. And it kept happening and happening and happening. And I thought, fuck, how do you become a motivational speaker? I know. Just make a fucking website and say you're a motivational speaker. And that's how it all began.
Wow. So I might be wrong here, but when you have a client meeting or with a potential client, they probably think, like, I want my guys to behave like Brad. I want to inject Brad into this team. I want everyone in the team to feel like this every day, right? Is that realistic?
I've got something that I might be able to have at hand here. I call it burst working. So right now, what I do is when I train teams, is that you can't give 100% all the time. So you see Anthony Joshua and you see a showreel or whatever, all right? Tyson Fury, he's amazing knockout showreels. You cannot do that for 12 rounds. It's impossible. It's a fallacy. And anyone that employs someone and believes that they're working 8 hours a fucking day is living in cloud cuckoo land. Just because they're sat behind the desk does not mean it. And once you recognise this, it's about, I would rather my team work 4 hours at 100% than 8 hours at 50. So what I end up doing with teams when I go into there, and I've got something to trademark, by the way, ain't fucking about, my team maker program. But that whole thing there is that what I do going into an environment, I say, look, I want our guys to do burst working. You're like, what's burst working? So 2 hours in the morning, mad intensity, right? And then 4 hours of coasting. Close the day with 2 hours of intensity. So as long as you're giving me 4 hours, 4 hours that I can definitively say, and you can turn around and say, is definitively... you know, hardcore, I'm good with that. And this is what I do. So if you look here, it's like a timesheet. This is, where is it? There we go. There you go. So you've got the times on the side there, right? And what I do is I get people to write down every 15 minutes with one word what they're doing. And after about an hour and 45 minutes, they start writing dicking about. So if we accept that that's the case, that everyone dicks about, threads, social media, oh, look, a panda. Oh, he's on a rocking machine. You know, if you accept that everyone's human, it's a whole lot easier to then accept that in order to get exceptional results, you need to let people be human. And that means that you can only get 4 hours of intensity, 4 good rounds out of someone. And that, because this is why burnout happens, and this is why people are going, oh, I've got another day off, I'm poor there, because they're not sustainable.
Okay. So you've kind of alluded there, so that's a bit of a hack. For the people that, obviously we have a lot of salespeople, SDR, sales managers, all that kind of sweet stuff that listen to this. For the people that are struggling with self-doubt, they're scared of rejection, crippling anxiety, what are, obviously we want people to come to you and pay you lots and lots of money, Brad, but for the people that can't afford you, what are some of the hacks?
Yeah, I'm going to give you now. Right, so day one enthusiasm. When you went to that interview... Yeah, hi, yeah, amazing. Oh, yeah, really, can do 8 million calls a day. And then somewhere along the way, 3 weeks later, you're like, oh. 2, get another fucking job, right? get another job or recognise that it's going to be tough. In order to get to where you need to get to, it's going to get tough. You're going to get no's. The best way to learn how not to get punched in the mouth is by getting punched in the mouth. The best way to learn as a motivational speaker how not to die on stage is by dying on stage. And what happens is you die on stage and people go, I'm never doing that again. What I did is I died on stage and went, oh, what did I like best about dying on stage? What would I do differently next time? So that's what you've got to do every single time that you come off a call and you die or whatever. Ask yourself, what did you like best about that call? What would you do differently next time? And keep getting better. Any expert was once a beginner. Any person that you see, what, you reckon that Jack was as good as he is on the phone? Bollocks. What, just naturally? No. He's had to die loads of times, had to get loads of no, but you're not going to die. That's what you need to understand. And what is it the other side of this call? And you know, what I say to people is this, if your only motivation is money, it's not enough. Let me tell you need a purpose for that money, right? Mm. So for me, kids tattoos, right? If my only motivation was money, I'll give you an example. Jack, motivation's money. Money's a big enough motivator. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Jack. I'm going to punch you in the mouth at full pelt, right? And I'm going to give you £1,000 for every punch that I give you. How many are you going to pre-book?
At least four.
Right. But after the first one, you're going to go, oh, whack, 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 whack. If you've got a little brother or you've got some family member that you love, and actually I'm going to punch them in the face or I'm going to punch you in the face, how many would you want?
I'd take the lot.
Thank you. That says to me that money's not a big enough motivator. So by flipping this in your mind's eye to something that is beyond money, your family, you're going to buy your mum private healthcare, you're going to get your kids to Disney World. By doing that, boom, you will do anything that it takes. Do you reckon, right, if it wasn't for my children, because there's a direct correlation, by the way, my boy was like 3 months old, baby Ben, when I started on this, because all I'd do, if it was down to me, is just smoke bongs all weekend. So all of a sudden, it's not about me anymore. It's about my boy, Ben. And that's how you do it. That's how you do it. You program this, because it's about fucking money. Whack, 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 whack. No, thank you. I don't want any more of teeth and blood. Family, keep going. Don't enjoy it, but I accept it. That's the difference. That's all right. It's a bit strong. And another way to get people tuned in, if I put a gun to your head and said, right, SDR, fucking double your sales in the next month, or she won't see next month, what would you do? Oh, well, I'd bring these people and I'd be really enthusiastic. Why the fuck aren't you doing it now? Manchester Motivation, by the way. Proper!
We're going to do a countdown at the end. Proper. So motivation, I'm big. When I do my sales training, I have a little debate of motivation versus discipline, because motivation will be what you need on the 1st of January to sign up to the gym, fill your fridge with a load of healthy ready meals, but by February the 1st, motivation ain't there. So obviously you're Mr. Motivator, not from the 90s, but you're the Salford version. So motivation, discipline, what's going on?
So listen, here's the thing, it's no pain, no gain. Bullshit. It's no pain, pain, no gain. So where people go wrong is they think on the first, oh, just stand a 12-month thing, or about a rowing machine, or about a load of fucking Huel. How did anyone ever lose weight before fucking Huel? Like, seriously. Like, they just invented, you know, there's something called normal food. Don't know, bit out there. But anyway, look, so you look at this whole thing here, and it's no pain, pain, no gain. And this is where people go wrong. They think they're joining the gym's the pain. No, going there, four times a week, that's the pain, pain, and that's where the gains are done. So when it comes to this, if you're stupid enough to do yourself a New Year's resolution, you ain't going to hold up. Every single day is a new day for you to stand. It's never too late to change direction. I was 31, former cokehead, right? He was just a fucking bum who turned his life around. How? Through this? So why wait till the first of next year? Why wait now? If you want to go and lose weight, stop eating cakes. Oh, but I like cakes. I like my curves. No, you don't. You like cakes. And this is what people need to understand. It's not your thyroid. It's fucking pizza. Oh, but what do I want to do? I'm going to buy some tablets that'll make lose weight. It doesn't work like I was 4 stone heavier, by the way. Never trust a fat motivational speaker. Never trust a skint SDR. Never trust an IFA with a fucking warning light on telling me the engine malfunction fucking check. I'm telling you people, we leak the truth. And actually, you need to be the first person you've got to convince of your brilliance. Isn't the person you're ringing up, it's you. And if you can't convince you, then you ain't convincing no other fucker, because if you don't 100% believe, 100% believe in you. Don't get upset when the person opposite doesn't 100% either, because we leak the truth. And that's where people are going wrong. Somebody tries ringing me up. I had a guy ring me up trying to sell me fucking corporate fucking boxes at fucking race horses or whatever. I'm not even interested. And I said to this kid, I went, wow. I said, listen, what an approach. I said, I've got no idea what your financial position is, this, that and the other. I said, you find me, now go and Google me on the thing, and then you make contact with me. I've got a job for you. Rings up, as a fucking Zoom, and then this, that, and the other, and then he goes quiet. I'm going to tell you a story. I employed someone back in my days when I had a staff and offices and this, that, and the other, 15 staff. I employed them in your modern fucking money, SDR, I think. But anyway, somebody who rings up trying to get people who have visited Four Networking to join. At the interview, tell me how clever they were. And I went like that. I said, oh, really? Yeah, I'm really confident on the phone. I said, I'll tell you what. And what, you don't, what were you like with the nerves? Oh, I'm fine, I'm good as gold. I said, brilliant. There's a list of 10 people. Do you want to give them all a call now? So I sat there in an interview, and this individual rang up 3 people and sold 2. And I went, boom, you're hired. Right? I said, don't tell me you're funny, make me laugh. Hired there and then. The next 3 months, 1 fucking sale. And that's a good example of motivation and pressure. Gun to the head, Manchester motivation that I talked about before. Took that off, 1 sale. 2 sales in a 10-minute interview, out of 3 calls, genuine sales. 1 sale in the next 3 months, sat on their own. That just shows you, that gives you a good example of the, how fucking strange a profession that you guys have got.
You,
sorry, I just
you speak
new gender, my bad. Okay, sorry, I'm talking to fucking Gen Z.
Careful now, Brad Burton.
I don't give a fuck. Come cancel me, you fuckers. I don't give a fuck, 50-year-old. Anyway, go
well,
on.
That's my next question. You speak so openly and so freely, and it's honest, and it's kind of, it's refreshing. I think that we kind of sing from the same hymn sheet there. But was there a time where you didn't, because you were worried about the kind of, what the kind of the repercussions or the consequences,
you know,
and what was the change?
Yeah, this is great now, because what I did and I didn't realise that you can't swear when you present, right? Because I've never fucking done it. So I had no idea that you, when you're on stage, you're not supposed to swear. Nobody fucking told me, I didn't get a memo. And this is the great thing, is what happens is as that naivety of mine fell away, I thought, fuck it, keep going with it, it's working. So there's stuff that I'd done that I didn't realise you're not supposed to do. I didn't realise you're not supposed to tell people you use a fucking coke addict. I didn't realise. No idea. I didn't know. I didn't fucking know. And I think that's what makes me so disarming as an individual. You know, I am from Salford, right? Proper. You know, on that arcade. You know, I was that guy. I was that guy. I'm not that guy anymore. But what I've realised is I've taken stuff from that guy. You know, I'm bullish. I make shit happen. I'm, you know, I don't get pushed about by anyone. So all that kind of good stuff from being brought up in Salford, I've took with me. And a lot of it, I've more recently left behind. So I've always been this guy, but I didn't realise I was this guy. And like I say, I wasn't conscious originally when I was doing this stuff. And then it kind of worked. Oh, Brad's so edgy and so honest. And I thought, well, why are you now realise that you're not supposed to do that? Guess what? It kind of worked. Just being me. And I tell you, there's something wonderfully liberating about being a human being when I don't have to wear a fucking 3-piece suit and a pocket watch and a fucking monocle to go and present. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking lovely. It's just lovely to be able to be me. And I think that that's what success is. And I don't care how much money you've got. If you're having to pretend to be something you're not in order to earn money, that ain't success. That's success.
Do you think there's something in... Like, I think if I didn't know you, you'd look quite intimidating. If I didn't know you, I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something in seeing a bloke that looks like you getting on stage and being vulnerable that makes everyone else feel like they can be too?
Mate, that, let me tell you, my first line when everyone ever sees me, and I speak in front of thousands of people, you know, I come on stage, walk on, and this is something I do, I get people's attention in 3 seconds, so I walk on like I'm 10 men, right? I don't go around, by the way, just to be clear, high-fiving my kids and going, woo, and pointing at people in the audience when I walk around, right? So I walk on, and I copied that, not copied it, a pastiche, looking at the way that wrestlers do it, professional wrestlers, curtain goes back, and all of a sudden, you know, the music comes on, you know it's Hulk Hogan or whoever it be. There's something straight away that you capture what that character stands for. Good guy, bad guy. And there's something about me. I walk around there and I recognise them. My first lines is, morning, boys and girls. So, my name is Brad Burton. I'm the UK's number one motivational business speaker. And people say to me, Brad, how did you become the UK's number one motivational business speaker? And it's a great question. I just made a fucking website and said I'm the UK's number one motivational business speaker. And the first person you've got to convince of your brilliance is you. If I said to you, I am the greatest, I am the greatest. Which boxer am I referring to? Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. Well, the reason that we refer to Muhammad Ali as the greatest of all time is because 40 years ago, he referred to himself. So over the course of, what's that? Sorry, management are talking to me. Oh, yeah, just to put your mind at ease, I am from Salford, Manchester. Do have a shaved head, do have tattoos, but don't worry, I'm not a drug dealer anymore. But we can all change, and that's what we're going to do. So straight away, I kind of lean into that. So rather than moving away from it, I absolutely lean into it. So straight away, what you've got is that 3 seconds, who's this? And you get a combination between, oh, this looks intriguing, to what a fucking knobhead. Either way, I'm good. I've got their attention. Next 30 seconds, a bit of gag on that front. And the next 3 minutes, I then move on to this. So I do 3 seconds, 30 seconds, because I train people to speak, by the way, present. So that whole bit, how do you capture someone's attention? So I've got this whole thing, and I'm not going to show you because we're not doing a thing, but I've got 1,034, 1,062 slides. And what happens is when a client comes to me, I go, right, okay, start, we need 20 slides, middle, and I weave it together. And my entire motivational brain interprets everything motivational-wise. I don't know if you saw my post today on LinkedIn, you know, bonsai tree, the lessons there, and that proper Mr. Miyagi from Salford, proper. But, you know, it's, I look a roughneck, and I know I do, I look like a fucking football hooligan, but I'm not, I'm a pussycat. But nobody would know that unless I told them, and that's exactly what I do.
And genuine bit of advice this from you. So when I brought Jack into the business, I thought one thing that I don't possess is the ability to be chucked into a networking event and be able to make something happen. I can cold call people all day, one-on-one, and I know that there's something that's going to happen. But if I thought I've got to go to a networking event, I'd be it was not like an anxiety. It's more just like, oh, I can't be arsed kind of feeling to it. Whereas Jack, I could put him in a room full of strangers and he'd be sound. So
that you just lie to yourself, mate. That's what you just said, then you just fucking lie to yourself. Fact.
Go on.
You know, I can't be arsed. Bullshit. Let me tell you something. It's always the thing behind the thing behind the thing. Right? You might have got locked in a coal shed when you were 7 by your dad. Something's going on here, right? Which we could sit down and we could explore. But there's something here that you just said then, oh, can't be arsed. That's what you said. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is either, you know, you're scared of getting rebuffed, you got knocked back by a girl, boy, other sectors are available, you know, whatever. And actually, that's extrapolated that and everything you see it. So I don't know what's going on there, and it's not the time to explore it on here. However, let me give you a tip. It's just a fucking conversation. That's it. It's just a conversation, right? What's the worst case scenario? You go to a networking event and you get punched in the mouth. No, I've done 2,500, whatever I've done. I've run 68,000 business networking meetings in the UK. 68,000 real world business networkings in the UK with my business for networking. I sold it in August, right? So I've never once seen anyone punched in the mouth, right? And I've had a couple of uncomfortable conversations, but you learn every single time. Let me give you a tip. Let me give you a tip that I used to use. At For Networking, we had one-to-ones. We created one-to-ones in meetings, one-to-ones. So everyone's copied the format now. That was us. For networking, my business, 1-2-1s was my thing in networking time. And the passport, which allowed you to go to any networking meeting. We pioneered that. Now, when it comes to networking, what I do is whenever I sit down with anyone, like a Zoom, I do this bradburton.biz/15 if anyone wants to have a 15-minute conversation. As soon as you come on there, I will either give them 15 minutes of advice if they want some advice, completely free of charge. Or I say this, general catch-up, or is there anything specific you want to have a chat about? That's it. So with that, oh, it's just a general chat. Brilliant. How's your Labrador? Okay, yeah, I've got something. Okay, what's that? Boom. So that's a good opening question. General chat or anything specific to talk about? But no, Zach, do yourself a favour. Push yourself out of your comfort zone, because what ends up happening is there will be a time when those skill set that you've not got, or you choose not to because you can't be asked, right? There will be a time when you would wish that you had that. You've had that skill set that allows you to speak. And I say this to people. You know, I present. There was a time before the pandemic, I couldn't even look in the fucking lens. It's like Stevie Wonder, right? Couldn't even look in the lens. Scared it was going to steal my soul. And, you know, and over time, the great thing about the pandemic is actually it's allowed me now to look down the lens without feeling that. So I would urge you, Zach, I would urge you, with your wingman, next time you're in Manor proper, to go there and to go to a networking meeting. And because when you start pushing yourself out of your comfort zone in all areas of your life, it helps. And I'm going to give you an example. So my wife, oh, I've got a council tax bill going out in 2 days' time. Oh, I've got no money for it. On a scale of 1 to 10, honey, how stressful is that? Oh, it's an 8. Oh, it's an 8. Is it really an 8? Go. So if I go and get a load of gunmen from Salford, Manchester, to put bullets through your window and put a contract on your head, where's your 8 now? Is it still 8? Oh, it's more like a 3. Right, okay. So what this allows you to do is any adversity that you've ever encountered in your life, you need to transfer it across to all other areas of your life. You've had lots of no's in your life, Zach, right? You have, especially with that beard, right? But, you know, you've had lots of no's. I'll leave the jokes to you next time. But you've had loads. You can't even fucking see. You're about fucking 3K. It's like 1989 internet, this. But the point I'm making is this. Honestly, you need to sort it out. I know you live by the sea, mate, but fucking hell, sort it. Right? It's a good job we don't need a fucking video conference for your business. So the point is that I'm making is you need to push yourself out of your comfort zone. So me as a speaker, going onto stage with thousands of fucking people, that transfer skill allows me to then be able to do other things that are also within that framework of outside of comfort zone. So get yourself stuck in there, Zach. You'd be amazing.
Amazing. And Jack was alluding to it before, but the Brad Burton that's on stage, and you mentioned before, that's like the wrestler character that you're putting on, and the Brad Burton that's in a networking event saying, is there anything specific or is it just a chat? Are they the same character or do you almost think of it in a different way?
Absolutely same guy. You know, people expect, and this is the problem, people expect a certain version of me. Yeah, right, that's the reality of it. And that is a version of me, but I'll go back down to that burst working. Right now, 2 hours of intensity, 4 hours of knobbing about computer games and having a nap. Right now, we're in the 2 hours of intensity mode. This is what this is, right? Ordinarily, you know, I would be talking like normal, but I'm not. I'm leaning forward, my shoulders are back, and I'm being more animated. And this is what you've got to do. Hi, it's Brad here. I'm calling to get an appointment, if possible, with Steve. Come on. I ain't going to fucking cut it. So it's the same principle as what you guys do, as what I do on stage.
Okay. So, Brad, you've had a lot of different success in a lot of different avenues. We were chatting about this earlier, but with everything, there's a cost or a price to pay. So getting into that, what has been for you to be the UK's number one and go and do all these big events and kind of sell the business for X amount of money? What negativity or kind of price have you paid for that?
Great question. See, people don't see this. All you see on The Apprentice is some knobhead getting out of a fucking Rolls Royce Phantom with matching pink socks and fucking and a tie. Right? Nobody sees the fact that I nearly had a marriage breakdown one day away from, from being divorced, literally. I've had 3 burnouts, 1 nervous breakdown, and a partridge in a pear tree. Oh, and I've got a stalker as well. I've got a fucking stalker who's just been charged with harassment and malicious communications. You know, so listen, you know, you think about these things. It's a price to pay, but a good, solid friend of mine, I'm not going to name drop him because King Charles told me not to, but I've got a friend of mine who said to me, he said, this is the price of success. The only way that you could have avoided all those things is by avoiding success. And some people don't have the luxury or the ability to be able to get back on track. You know, I see people that are hyper wealthy and yeah, miserable as fuck. And I think that to me isn't success. Success is being happy. Success is being content with what and who you are. And that is something that I've got by the droves. But yeah, there has been some times, and one of the things, especially running a networking organization, you are up front and center. Thousands of members, they all had an opinion on me. And you're not going to get 1,000 people that are going to align with what's going on. So that was a tough thing. That I was more a political leader than a managing director. And it was a completely unique business. But that's the reason that I've got a reputation, because of that. Because I was stupid enough to do 40,000 miles a year, going to up to 13 networking meetings a week around the UK. So that's why I've got myself a real world reputation. And I would go as far as saying there's no one in the UK that's had more 10-minute conversations than me. I would urge anyone, I'll throw the challenge out there. If you believe that you've had more 10-minute conversations than me in the last 16 years with business owners, you let me know, because I don't see it. I just don't see it, because that's what I've done. And consequently, that allows me to see people. I can read people like books. I can read businesses like books. I can see what they're not seeing, because I've sat down with all these people. And because of the nature of my personality, I can read situations really well. Because probably, like I say, I'm from Salford. Jack? Zach?
Proper. What do you do on the days where you don't feel like being Brad Burton?
Great question. Dust off the bong. No, play computer games. You can edit that out as well. Play computer games. I'm big in pro wrestling. Love watching pro wrestling. A big computer gamer. I've now got into gardening. Literally, I bought a bonsai tree last week. Fascinating. This is the thing that they say, you know, look at me and you go, come on, this guy. I love walking my dog. Love going to the gym. And I love just being me. I've got Lego. Lots of Lego. Oh, don't get me wrong, I've got firearms as well. But so I'm a big Lego guy. I'm a big Lego guy. And look, wife got me this. It's a,
but do you feel like so you've got to come in? This might not be the example, but there are situations like this where you've got to go in. You've got to be the Brad Burton that everybody knows and wants. They're paid for this Brad Burton. There must be times, because I've felt it running a team and running a company, where days you don't feel like putting that. I'm not saying it's a mask, because it's another part. We all have different parts of our personality. The person our mum sees, or our partner, or whatever.
So, let me tell you. So, 20 minutes prior to this conversation, I was like, so what I've done is meditation. Like, 2 5-minute guided meditations prior to orientate and centre myself. One of the things that I look at, and one of the things I look at is about getting my brain in order. I don't know if I've got it, but there's something that I do which allows me to actually orientate. I'm not gonna stink the podcast out trying to find it. But what I do is I get myself centered. So if I'm not in a good place, and I'll send you in a second, I say to myself, where am I on this thingy majig? And actually, there you go, I found it. There you go. So I look at this mood management. This is one of my documents. And I say, right, whereabouts am I right now? Okay? How do I get myself centered? And that's what I do. I get myself centered. So today I'm feeling anxious and lethargic, possibly here and there, for no good reason other than just, you know, life. And I've got myself centered prior to this conversation.
Interesting. I've never, obviously, I've been following your LinkedIn. I think you were one of the first people that I ran into on LinkedIn, because you're an avid poster like myself. I don't think I've ever seen you talk much about meditation, gratitude, manifestation, those kind of things. Is there a reason, or is it something that is not part of the persona?
No. Listen, as soon as you start talking spirituality, and as soon as you start talking fucking gratitude and fucking Woody journals and fucking garbage like that, is everyone switches off. Anyone who's into that game is into that game anyway. You go and look at my last fucking 3 months posts. Hashtag namaste as fuck. I've used it every single fucking time. So I'm bringing a new level into this world. The same way that I brought a new networking organisation and a new format that people laughed at. Then I brought in a new thing about motivation that people, once again, you know, didn't think it would work and it wouldn't stand the test of time 15 years in. I'm bringing something new in. Something new to this whole space to allow people, normal people, to be able to reorientate themselves without using the word gratitude, without using the word spiritual, without using it. And I tell you, it's almost rebranding that whole stuff in a manner that is palatable to people. And that's what I'm working on right now. I'll give you an exclusive. I've actually got a retreat happening abroad, the Marbella or Ibiza or Ayia Napa, where I'm going to be bringing high self-worth individuals together. I've got lots of people already queued up for it. 4 days of getting bradded by me. And I'm, you know, using my skills as a network, using my skills as a Brad grenade, using my skills as a personal developer, using my skills as mindset, and bringing people together for something new, something that has never been done before. Because that's what I do. I am almost like that fucking first generation rappers, the ones that didn't make the fucking big money. And then Tupac came along, and fucking Dre came along, and they mopped up based on the path that was laid down by those first generations. And I know that's what I am. People dismiss me when we're networking. Never work. The format's ridiculous. Fucking hell, the network's still fucking going. The format's still going. Everyone's copying it. Oh, Brad Burton, you know, he's never going to get away with that swearing on stage. Yeah, getting booked globally. His drug dealer line, they're going to laugh. So every step of the way, everyone's told me I've got it fucking wrong. And every step of the way, guess what? I've got it right. Because I turned down the volume on those dickheads and turned up the volume on my own self-talk.
And I'm interested, Brad Burton, the motivational speaker, how much of him did you have to get involved in being a dad?
Children don't listen to you. They don't listen to you. You don't listen to you. In the same way I didn't listen to my fucking mum or dad. You know, oh, don't do that. Don't get yourself a finance on a car. Oh, mum, it'd be fine. Finance on a car. Hey, mum, I can't afford to pay it. Can you fucking, you guaranteed it. You know, you don't listen to your parents. But what I've said is that my books, I've got four, is that when I go, I want them to read it top to bottom, each of them, because I wrote them to give them every single life lesson that they're going to need in their life. And it's funny because, you know, I'm 50 year old, and I look younger, but I'm 50. You think about that, and you think, fucking 50. My dad went at 53. So on that basis, I've got 3 years before I fucking die. Die as in gone. There's in no more. And my beautiful office, one day I'll have somebody's fucking bedroom in here, and bed. And the house that you live in right now was once somebody else's house and somebody else's dream. And but you know, this is the bit that people don't understand. death happens to someone else. You know, we're all going to outlive our peers. So it's 20 years in advance until it's fucking not. And this is what I'm trying to say to you as individuals. Fucking do whatever you're going to do. You're young enough now. You're stupid enough. Fucking do it. Jack, you are going to fucking live in Ibiza and go around the fucking world and do your calls at fucking from Bali. Fucking do it. Stop waiting for perfect conditions, because somewhere along the way you'll be waiting a long time. Same goes for you, Zach. Whatever the fuck you want to do in your life, fucking do it. Because one day you will wish that you'd have listened to that fucking bar bloke and you'd have done that very thing that you can't do. I've seen too many fucking people being hyper-connected in my network. People that went and died through no fault of their own. And this is what I'm saying. So maybe that steered me and maybe that shaped me to look at life and go, this is finite, guys. And you know, I'll tell you something. My business, if it would have been a fucking £10 million business with a pandemic, it would have still gone. If it would have been a £100 million business, it would have still gone. So with that, I've kind of had to go, that's interesting. Why don't I? Because I started out with just me. Then I got a team of 800 and this, that and the other. Fucking hell, I'm making more fucking readies now on my own than I was at my height. That's fucked up. So somewhere along the way, bigger isn't always better. Jack.
I'm here. I was making notes.
Go on, mate.
No, I was going to ask a couple of quick fire questions, if that's okay.
Please.
I've been inspired by some of the bits you've been saying, so I've been making some notes here. The best self-help book that isn't by yourself.
23 Steps to Achievement by Robert J. Lumsden. It's written in 1978. And when I got shot at, I ended up being homeless for about 3 days, sofa surfing. And I had this copy of this book with no cover. And it was the only thing that kept me going. It gave me hope. And I tried to get hold of the author. He's now dead. Just to thank him. And it's like a 1978 book. Your wife should prepare your food by 5 o'clock. You know, some good old stuff in there that you couldn't probably get away with anymore. But nonetheless, it had a lot of that kind of stuff. But the core message, it invigorated me. And I do think, and this is what's beautiful about books, is that somewhere along the way, that guy has kind of rented some space in my fucking brain positively and steered me. So Robert J. Lumsden is no longer here. I don't know who he is. Couldn't find a photograph. But 23 Steps to Achievement or Success. But if you are going to be buying one of my books, the people that most people say is probably my best one is Life Business Just Got Easier. It's my third one. Get it on Amazon.
Okay. Favourite motivational speaker, excluding Brad Burton?
Don't fucking rate him. I don't rate him. I don't fucking rate him. And it sounds like I'm being a fucking vicious fucker. I think everyone's ended up copying this trope about what a motivational speaker should be. You know, unleash the power within. Oh, fuck off. Fuck's sakes. You know, I'm working on a fucking Amazon shift, for fuck's sakes, or a fucking thing. You know, and this is what I'm trying to say. You've sold a fucking pup. You know, not everyone can be fucking Elon Musk. Not everyone can be this, and it's a fallacy to even pretend that is the case. But what we can do is be a better version of ourselves. That might mean that you get overtime, or you get an extra £2 an hour, or you get, you know, it doesn't have to be this whole fucking thing. I had some knobhead on social media saying, I've got self-limiting beliefs. Why? Well, because you could earn 300 million quid and you could travel the fucking, I don't give a fuck. I've got everything that I sensibly want in my life. Everything. Everything that I sensibly want. Would I have a Lamborghini? Yes. Would I work for a Lamborghini? Get to fuck. If I won a lottery, I'd have a Lamborghini. And I think we need to start being realistic there. And that is what I'd say about motivational speakers. You know, fucking start being realistic with your expectations, because the problem is you're setting people up to fail. And that's why we've got a nation of youngsters who are all discombobulated, spending what little fucking money they've got on a fucking stupid belt, because they fucking believe that that's where success is, having a Gucci fucking belt or buying knobhead bottles in a fucking pub. On a fucking bar and hiring a fucking... I remember the olden days in nightclubs, you could just sit down on a fucking... On a table. Nowadays, you've got to have 800 fucking quid and knobheads coming past with fucking bottles of sparklers in. It's fucking stupid. So forget all this showy stuff, because that's what we end up fucking doing. And I've been there, showy as fuck. Stop it. Start doing... Success is an internal job. Get your internal right and you'll sort your external out.
Good. Scale of 1 to 10 today, how happy are you?
8, 8.5. And that's the standard for me. Beautiful, beautiful. There was a time when I was 2 out of 10, and I was like that for 2.5 years back in 2011, 2013. And that just shows you, you know, in a dark place, dark fucking place, yet I had a multi-£1 million business. That is fucked up. So just to be clear, you've got a multi-£1 million business and you are in a fucking scale of 1 to 10, you're like a 2 or a 3. Yes. So I'm making nowhere near as much money as a turnover and as a business, and I don't have all the thingy, but I'm happier. And this is what I say when I talk to boards. I say, look, you know, tell me your profit and loss, and they start telling you, go on. And directors, how happy are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Eh? Go on, you tell me how much numbers you've got. How happy are you on a scale of 1 to 10? I want you to write it down on a piece of paper, and then we're all going to turn them over at the same fucking time. Right? And everyone turns it over and go, you're a 4, you're a 6. What would make you happier? Would earning less money make you happy? And they go, no, of course it wouldn't. Yes, it would if it meant you had more time, or you'd have less pressure and you could spend more time. And it's like, this is the bit. Do you not realise you're going to fucking die? You're going to die one day. You're going to die and you're going to go, oh, I wish you had a fucking Lamborghini. I said, no one ever.
Are you scared of dying?
No, not anymore. I was. I had some fucking strange shit happen a couple of years ago. The clock's ticking. But no, not in the slightest. Not in the fucking slightest. Not in the slightest. It's proper profound, my thinking, how it's changed now. You know, this is our journey. There's some inevitability that we are all going to fucking die. And you might sit there going, oh, that's a bit depressing. Oh, I'll tell you what's fucking depressing is pretending you're not going to fucking die. That's depressing. So on that basis, if you had like fucking 24 hours left in your life, would you be fucking sat there banging phones? Would you fuck? So what the fuck would you do in the last 24 hours? Well, I'd ring that, I'd say that to that person. Fucking do it. Because there'd be someone right now who's walking across the road who's no longer walking across the fucking road. And they didn't do it. We're always waiting for the right time to tell our loved ones that we love them, to take our children, our fucking our nephews to the fucking duck pond to skim pebbles. Oh, a bit busy re-invoicing at the moment. Fuck it off, right? It doesn't mean that that stuff's not important. It is. But on the scale of, once again, remember what I talked about punches before? About, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is business? 10! Okay, what about your family? Well, 10. All right, so does that push that down? Yeah. And you can keep going and you can see that business, it should be a vehicle to create a life. Not a fucking life to create a business. No fucking way. And I've realised that I've fucking 19 years of business. 19 years of business. And I'll tell you something. If you'd have told me this when I first started out, I'd have thought you'd a fucking knobhead. Take it from me. As a 50-year-old man, I am giving you the best bit of advice that you could do. Business is important. Life is even more important.
I like it. What's, last question, what's next for Brad Burton? Where are we going to see Brad at 60, 70?
You know what? It's great. I've already got my tagline lined up, which is older, fatter and wiser. So, you know, it's funny because I'm there. I'm already there. So as I start getting fatter and I start getting older, it's great. You know, these teeth are all paid for, all natural, by the way. But they are bleached. And I realise that actually what I've done is I've tried to keep myself younger. You go and look at me and looking 12 years back. I look even older and fucking fatter than I was 4 stone everywhere. I look dead, man. I'm like a walking zombie on a fucking diet of fucking Pro Plus and fucking sleeping tablets. You know, fucked up. To then empower this business forward. Fucking stupid. So, what's next for me? My next for me is to get this Life Maker retreat off. And actually, I think it'll sell out like that bum. And I actually get 12 people over in fucking wherever it is. And another 24, then 48, 96, 200. And actually build up something. Something that is fresh. Something that people haven't ever seen before. And actually have this energy over the course of 3 and 4. And this vision. And all these amazing fucking worksheets that I've got. And actually work through. And actually get people to genuinely change their life. Genuinely change their life. I've changed my life. You can change yours. But it all starts with belief. There's two versions of us. A good version and not so good version. Time for the good one to come out. Thank you. So bradburton.biz/15 if you want to jump on a 15-minute call. No sales pitch. I mean that. You'll have 15 minutes of advice. It's complete confidence. You've got a dead body in your boot. That's on you. It's your business. I will help you as best as I can with that in 15 minutes. If you do want to know how you can work with me beyond that, check out workwithbrad.biz.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you so much, Sailor Boys.